Hour.
I am not ashamed of the gospel, which means good news. And this is good news, my friends. Good news about salvation through the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Because this good news and this good news alone unleashes the power of God to save everyone who embraces this good news. First to the Jewish people and then to everybody else. Well, shalom. To the Faith Talk 1500 audience, this is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael, along with my co-host, Rabbi Glenn, who is coming to us over the phone today with another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. Shalom, Rabbi Glenn.
Hey, shalom, Rabbi Lauren. Looking forward to today's show because we are now in the Passover season.
We are, Rabbi Glenn. Passover starts a week from tonight, and this is the oldest of holidays. You and I have heard that this is the longest continually celebrated holiday among people on planet Earth, and it is very meaningful for Christians and for our Jewish people, especially if Jesus made them kosher. And Rabbi Glenn, we are giving Passover presentations and seders in about 20 churches in the Metro Detroit area this Passover season.
Yeah, a lot of Christians really are not aware, and by the grace of God, we have these opportunities to give these presentations to see the amazing connections between Yeshua's Last Supper, which was a Passover Seder, and a communion as we celebrate it today, or the Lord's Supper, or as you and I and folks at Shema call it, Arochat Adonai. It's an eye-opener. People are always amazed when they see the unbelievable symbolism of the three-in-one God of Israel and the Messiah as we go through the Passover. And, you know, I'm sure you've had this happen many times as well. People go, how is it that Jewish people don't see this? It's right before their eyes. And, you know, we kind of chuckle. But the fact is that just as Jewish people, for the most part, are unaware of how our very own nearly 3,500-year-old Passover celebration points to the Messiah, a lot of Christians are unaware of just that powerful symbolism also.
I agree. And I want to open the phone lines today to those who want to call in who have questions about the Passover, how it's celebrated and what it means, and this other holiday that I hope we can cover today, Rabbi Glenn, the holiday of the first fruits, which is really the biblical resurrection day, which is very much connected to the third day of Passover. So if you want to call and have a question, call 866-423-9578. That's 866, toll free, 423-9578 or WLQV. Well, Rabbi Glenn, not only are we giving Passover presentations and seders in various churches in Metro Detroit, and that's a really cool thing that we have to offer the church from our Jewish heritage, but we're having two Passover seders of our own that we are opening to the wider community. And if you would like to join us for Passover, we need you to make your reservations by Monday morning. Really, our cutoff is Monday around noon. We're having two seders at the Farmington Hills Manor in Farmington Hills. It's next Friday night and next Saturday night, a week from tonight. And please consider coming and bring your pastor, invite a Jewish friend to come. And there's two ways to make a reservation. You can make a check payable to a congregation, Shema Yisrael, and somehow you must drop it off at this point and bring it to our office, which is at Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church, on Telegraph by Monday morning. Or another cool way is you could go to the Shema website, which is shema.com, and there is a donate button on the website. And using the donate button, you can, you know, pay by credit card or PayPal, and in the message area, let us know which night you are making a reservation for and how many people are in your party.
Yeah, it's a great way to do that. You can do it immediately, And when you do that, we will send you out a confirmation. I personally will be sending you out a confirmation so you'll know that you're all set. And, folks, there is just nothing like celebrating Passover. And there's nothing like celebrating Passover when you know the Lamb of God, the Messiah. There are so many wonderful things about Passover.
So if you have a question, again, call 866-423-9578. Rabbi Glenn, let's talk a little bit about what we like concerning Passover. Maybe some memories growing up. For me, of course, you know, it's the family getting together. Passover is primarily celebrated not at synagogue with the whole community, but around the home or in the home around the table. So it's celebrated by families, and that's really special for a holiday, isn't it?
It is. It's a wonderful family holiday. And, you know, much like Thanksgiving is one of the few times of the year we can hopefully count on most, if not all, of the family gathering, Passover is much the same way, but it has even more significance because this is a holiday that commemorates not a legendary event, but a very real historical event that has never been paralleled in human history, that took place almost 3,500 years ago, in which an entire people group that had been enslaved were set free. It's not legend, it's real history. And when we gather the entire family on Passover, we are remembering that we are here, we exist, we're the very reason we're alive today and free to celebrate it is because the God of Israel passed judgment on all the false gods of Egypt, parted that Red Sea, and brought us safely through, and then brought us to our own land.
And then, as you know, those whom Jesus has made kosher, we have the greater understanding that Messiah, the King of the Jews, died on Passover to fulfill Passover as the ultimate Passover sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we have that great spiritual salvation available to Jews and Gentiles right now because of Messiah. Well, Rabbi Glenn, I grew up in a Jewish family in the Chicago area, and of course we had Passover every year, and we usually did it at my Aunt Fritzie's and Uncle Cap's house. You know, various holidays were at different people's homes. Passover was at Aunt Fritzie and Uncle Cap, and Aunt Fritzie was a great cook, and her sister, my grandmother, was a fabulous cook, and I just remember the special Passover foods and the smells and the wine and the coconut macaroons, and just a really special time and great memories for me.
You know what I remember? I remember hawking my dad, just pestering my dad and my mom and my grandfather. When can I go open the door and see if Elijah's there? Come on, can I go open the door now? When can I go open the door? I thought it was very cool because one of the traditions, for those of you listening who aren't familiar with Passover, is that based on the prophecy in Malachi chapter 3, it is believed that Elijah the prophet will return at some point on the evening of a Passover, and that he'll be there at the door, and that Elijah will announce the soon coming of the Messiah. So for all these centuries, Jewish people at some point in the Seder, usually toward the end, will tell the youngest son, "Why don't you go open the door and see if Elijah's there?" Now I got to tell you, Rabbi Lauren, growing up, I didn't know why we were doing this. I didn't know anything about Malachi 3. We didn't read the Bible as I was growing up in my home, and I just knew that, you know, we had this tradition that there's going to be this guy, this dude's going to be at the front door one night at Passover, and I just thought that was majorly cool. So every year I'm like, "Come on, Grandpa, can I go open the door now?" And you know, finally, they let me go open the door, and of course, nobody was ever there. One time, the neighbor's dog was there, but I knew that wasn't Elijah.
You know, we opened the door for Elijah, too. That is a wonderful Jewish tradition, but based on all a reality, Rabbi Glenn, as you said, one of the last prophecies in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, is God reminding the Jewish people that Elijah is alive. He's one of the only human beings who never died, and God promises to send Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord, before these end-time events, to prepare the way for the coming of Messiah. He's the Messiah's forerunner. So Elijah comes first to prepare the Jewish people for the coming of Elijah. And what better time, Rabbi Glenn, than Passover, the time of salvation and redemption for our people?
It really is. It's the most appropriate time. Well, you know, one of the things, Rabbi Lorne, that I like so much about Passover is the fact that God uses ordinary people. Moses was a regular human being. Of course, he was exceptional in many ways, but, I mean, he was a human being like you and me, like our listeners. And God can use ordinary people and accomplish great things. And it also reminds me that God gives victory to the weak over the mighty. You know, it does not depend on man who wills or who runs, but on God who has mercy and God who shows himself mighty. And, you know, Israel was, of course, vastly outgunned and outnumbered by the mighty Egyptian people and the Egyptian army, and yet God gave victory to us, and we didn't have to so much as lift a bow or lift a sword.
That is a great thought, Rabbi Glenn, that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things if only they will get close to him and stay close to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that dawns on me, Rabbi Lorne, is that, you know, God set Israel free before he gave us the Torah. In other words, God sets people free before he places any kind of demands on us. And a lot of people have it wrong. They think, oh, you know, if I'm going to come to God, first I got to clean up my life. I got to get everything right. I got to, you know, change myself and get everything right. And that's just not how it works. He sets us free. We were helpless, and he rescued us, just like he rescued helpless Israel at the shore of the Red Sea with the sea on one side and the army of Pharaoh on the other and nowhere to go. And God redeemed us and set us marvelously free. And then once we were on the other side, then he meets with us. Then he makes covenant with us. Then he says, now here's what I'd like you to do. And he gives us the Sabbath, and he gives us his instruction. You know, he doesn't say, I need you to do this, 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 and this, and then and only then will I save you. So I like the fact that we're saved first and then sanctified.
I like that too, Rabbi Glenn, that, you know, and the Bible tells us that we are to learn from the nation of Israel, that how God deals with Israel, he deals with other nations and with individuals. And you are so right. It was by God's grace that this nation that was enslaved to the superpower Egypt was set free, not because we, you know, were so wonderful and so ready, but God, by his grace and mercy, saved us when we couldn't save ourselves. And then after that, he started cleansing us, you know, the going through the Red Sea, almost like cleansing waters of baptism, and then giving us teaching and instruction. And so you're absolutely right. We see the grace of God, you know, that salvation comes first.
Yep, absolutely. Now, you and I, Rabbi Lorne, have been teaching and churches and in various contexts for many years, between the two of us, a lot of years, about the Passover. And there's so much symbolism of the Messiah in the Passover. And I was thinking it might be good to talk about the particulars about the lamb that God commanded us to choose for ourselves at Passover. It couldn't just be any kind of lamb. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yes, it was a very kind, specific kind of lamb that was required to be given on Passover. It had to be perfect, unblemished, a year-old lamb in the prime of its life. It was brought in and observed for 4 days prior to Passover. And this is telling us something, Rabbi Glenn, because the Passover lamb is a type of the greater lamb who was to come, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who actually died on Passover in fulfillment of Passover. He was a male, just as the Passover lambs were males. He was in the prime of his life. He was unblemished, perfect, sinless, acceptable to God, just as the Passover lamb had to be observed by the Jewish people for, I believe, 4 days prior to Passover. Messiah was observed by the nation of Israel for 3-4 years prior to his great Passover.
Right. If there had been any flaw in his character, any error in his teaching, any kind of flaw, defect, sin of any kind, of course, there was ample opportunity to see it. But, of course, Yeshua was able to say, and he is the only person who ever walked this earth who could ever say it, which of you convicts me of sin? There was plenty of opportunity in terms of time to catch him in something he said that might have been wrong. And, of course, he was flawless, just like that lamb had to be flawless. But even beyond that, Rabbi Lorne, there is the command in Exodus that no bone of that Passover lamb was to be broken. And people might wonder, okay, well, why all these specific things? Why did it have to be one-year-old? Why did it have to be male? Why did it have to be flawless? And why couldn't any bone of it be broken? And then you see, in the course of time, we get to look back in hindsight and see it all in perfect clarity, that Jesus was a perfect male in the prime of his life, and even at his death, by the most horrific means possible at that time, crucifixion, which was often hastened, death was often hastened by the breaking of legs, because then, you know, the victim could no longer push themselves up to get breath, and they would very quickly suffocate or die of heart failure. And, of course, Jesus, Yeshua, was crucified in between two thieves. And, of course, as Passover sunset was coming, Passover is at hand, and the Jewish people wanted this thing done, so they asked the Romans to basically hasten the whole thing. The Roman guards went to each of those two thieves and broke their legs in order to hasten their death. When they got to Yeshua, he had already died. So they didn't break any of his legs. And, of course, John tells us even that fact points us back to that original Passover lamb of which God said, no bone of it is to be broken.
So God, Rabbi Glenn, from the time of the first Passover, God knew that Passover was a prophecy, a picture of a greater lamb who was to come, the Messiah, a greater exodus, not from slavery to Egypt, but slavery to the real forces of Satan, sin, and death, and that the type, you know, we have the type and the anti-type, or the type and the fulfillment. The Passover lamb, no bone was to be broken, and God had in mind that no bone of the Son of God would be broken.
Yep. And, you know, the Jewish people were told in Egypt on that night, take the blood of that lamb, that flawless lamb, put it into a bowl, and using hyssop, apply that blood to the doorposts of our homes. We were told to apply it to the lintel, which is the top post, and then also to the two side posts. Now, none of this is arbitrary. God isn't just saying, you know what, why don't you do it over here, and then do it over here. God had the entire purpose in mind to show us a prophecy of that greater lamb. We were to put the blood on the top post, on each of the two side posts. Eventually the blood drips down from the top post and drops to the ground, and at that moment you have 4 points of blood on each doorpost, in a sense a prophecy of the cross on each doorway of the house of Israel. And it was the blood of that perfect lamb by which death passed over every home that had faithfully put the blood there. So we needed that atonement, that blood covering over our homes, so that death would pass over us in Egypt. And in the same way, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, it's his blood that makes that covering, that kapora, the atonement, by which death now passes over us. So every single aspect of what was required of our people that first Passover night, approximately 1446 B.C., every aspect of that was to point us to the Messiah, and it's just great. And Rabbi Lorne, we do have a couple of minutes. It really would be wonderful if you could tell our listeners about the matzah tosh and why that's such a powerful symbol.
This is another great symbol that points us to Messiah, the matzah tosh. Matzah tosh means like matzah bag. Matzah is the unleavened bread. Tosh is like bag or pocket. And one of the Jewish traditions that has developed over the centuries is to take 3 pieces of matzah and put the 3 pieces of matzah in one bag. It's either a bag or maybe 3 or 4 napkins in layers, but it's 3 pieces connected together in one. And then during the ceremony, we take the middle piece of the matzah from the middle pouch. We specifically take that one out and we break it in half. The middle one, Rabbi Glenn, not the top, not the bottom. Then we put half of that middle one back in the matzah tash. The other half we wrap in a linen cloth or put in another special bag and then hide it somewhere. Then, after the meal, the children search for the middle matzah that's been hidden. The child who finds it brings it back and is rewarded by the head of the house with usually a monetary reward, some money. And Rabbi Glenn, isn't this fascinating that we have a 3-in-1 bag of unleavened bread? Lack of leaven represents lack of sin. The middle one is taken out, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The middle one is taken out just as Messiah revealed himself and came to earth. It's broken just like Messiah was crucified. Half of it is wrapped up and hidden like Messiah was wrapped in shrouds and linen and hidden in the garden tomb. And then the one who finds this hidden, you know, bread is rewarded by his father, just as the Messianic Jew, the kosher-hearted Christian, is rewarded by the Heavenly Father when they encounter the one who is truly the bread of life.
That's right. When that child finds that hidden afikomen and brings it back, it's as though it's been resurrected, just as Messiah rose from the dead. And Rabbi Loren, even the matzah itself, the appearance of it, can point us to the Messiah. As people look at a piece of matzah, it has like brownish stripes along the sides of it. As it goes through the oven, the flames on either side, it creates like a striping. And that striping could be looked at in the same way as the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the Messiah's suffering. By his stripes, by his scourging, we are healed. And the matzah is pierced up and down with rows of holes, up and down the entire length and breadth of it. It's pierced with holes. Well, the Messiah was pierced, as the prophet Zechariah foretold. They shall look upon me, the one they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And even more than that, Rabbi Loren, I'm hoping our listeners can sort of picture this pouch in which are these three layers of matzah, but each one is separated from the others. Within that pouch are actually other pieces of cloth, so that each piece of the matzah of those three is separate, distinct from the others. So there's three in one, yet each is unique and separate. And to me, it just seems abundantly clear, one God in three persons. And so they're not just thrown in there. It is three unique, separate persons. It's just a marvelous thing. Folks, if you've never celebrated Passover, Rabbi Loren and I would just urge you to. It is one of the most joyful, eye-opening, dramatic experiences you can have, and you get dinner with it, too. And there is just nothing like a Shema Passover Seder where we look at and see this beautiful picture of Messiah.
That's right. So two ways to make a reservation for our Seders, which are a week from tonight and then a week from tomorrow night, next Friday and Saturday. Make a check payable to Congregation Shema Yisrael and somehow get it to us by Monday morning, noon at the very latest, or go to the Shema website, use the donate button. There's a place to put information for a message. Let us know which night and how many people are in your party. All the information is on the Shema website at shema.com. Just at the bottom of the homepage, there's all the Passover information. Or you can call Jennifer at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. Well, Rabbi Glenn, it's been great talking to you. And, you know, my Passover juices are already flowing, and I think we should be talking more about Passover and the Feast of Matzah Unleavened Bread, and this little-known holiday, the Feast of First Fruits, which is really the biblical Resurrection Day, which is connected to the third day of Passover.
Absolutely. I think we should really emphasize that this is the biblical day of the resurrection. We're all about that. You and I don't have a problem with the idea of Easter Sunday or anything like that. However, it really was the third day of Passover week. So yeah, the imagery there again is very, very powerful. So again, folks, visit our website. It's shema.com, shema.com. We've got some great articles there.
You can all right, Rabbi Glenn, thank you so much. The music is starting, and I want to say shalom, shalom, and Shabbat shalom to our entire Faith Talk 1500 audience.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.